everyone. Welcome to another live interview. Fantastic Dana is going to be on with us, speaking all things mindfulness, meditation, breath work, and helping to reduce anxiety, because that's what it's all about, my friends. Let us know in the comments how you're feeling on a scale of 0 to 10. So 0 being Netflix and chill, 10 being there's a saber-toothed tiger in front of us and we need to run away. Let us know your anxiety scores. It's good to label and understand how you're feeling in the present moment, because that's all about mindfulness, isn't it? It's about being present within the moment, sitting with the anxiety, leaning into the anxiety, and understanding, even though it feels dangerous, that feeling of danger and anxiety doesn't mean that it actually is dangerous. So guys, if you're ready for this interview, cannot wait. Hope you stick around. Also, everyone, put your questions into the comment box. So in the comment box, I want questions on anxiety, on mindfulness, on meditation, and we will answer your questions.
So one second. We're just waiting for Dana to appear with Instagram magic. She shall appear right now. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. So firstly, thank you so much for spending the coming on and spending time with the community. Really appreciate yourself and everything that you're doing. For people who may not be aware of your wonderful work, are you able to just give just a brief explanation of yourself, everything that you do, and maybe a little insight into your mental health journey or how anxiety may have affected you throughout your life?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I love what you stand for. And so if the message could just have a little bit of a ripple effect, it's worth it. So truly, thank you for inviting me today. And absolutely, my journey has been a long one, like everybody else. And I've been very multi-passionate in my career, really, I would say, chasing that elusive goal and believing that one day when I get to this, you know, elusive place, I'll feel happy and calm and peaceful. And I started my career as an event producer. I produced large scale events for over a decade. And I used to joke that if it was on Instagram, it would have looked very glamorous, but it was actually quite stressful. And it created a lot of anxiety in my life. And so I switched careers and I became a brand and sales coach and had a lot of success there. But again, still had that discomfort, that dis-ease, that anxiety. And that's when I got introduced into the hypnotherapy modality. And that is what I do to this day. So I am a clinical certified hypnotherapist. I also have certifications in trauma and somatic therapy. And I'm very passionate about creating programs and retreats for others to support others as they calm their nervous system, because we're all in this together.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So just for the community, you may not be aware, firstly, of the benefits of hypnotherapy for anxiety and also for somatic experiences. Are you able to just go into a bit more detail to let them know why hypnotherapy is useful when we're dealing with anxiety and the other things that you specialize in?
Absolutely. So hypnotherapy, I say to some, is a little bit scary. We're used to the word hypnotherapy, like show hypnotherapy, thinking that, you know, we're going to make someone quack on stage like a chicken. That's not what it is. Hypnosis, hypno comes from the word to sleep, and it means we do therapy while in a calm state. So yeah, we get to a place first where the nervous system is calm. We do that by entering a deep meditative state. And from that place, you have access to the 95% of the mind, which is the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind, it's responsible for all of our looping thoughts, behaviors, beliefs. And it's what's fascinating is we actually have over upwards of 60,000 thoughts per day. And yeah, 90% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts. So what's amazing in hypnotherapy is you can go to the root cause of when that thought pattern began. And when you realize that thought pattern began when I was X years old and I've been playing that loop in my head ever since, it's much easier to let it go. And again, even easier when you're in a calm state. You can introduce new suggestions to the mind and really break old cycles once and for all. And when it comes to somatic work, which I bring into my sessions, it's really about, you know, the body keeping score. So even though in our conscious mind we can say that we're okay, your body might be doing something different. So it's really important to also release energy that's stuck in the body in a safe way. So that's what I'm passionate about, is really mindfulness, working with the mind, and really undoing some of the conditioning we've had throughout our life.
Regarding the release and the energy, because we know with anxiety, like you say, it's so much physical as it is, the anxious thoughts. What techniques would you use to help release that tension, that anxiety buildup within the body?
It really depends on what state of the nervous system you're in. So if you're in a fight or flight kind of nervous system activation, then you really want to deregulate. You want to calm the system. While you're in a if you're in a freeze response, then you actually want to introduce some light movement into the system and get things moving. If you imagine your nervous system, it's like a pendulum, and you want to start our pendulum gets stuck sometimes in overactivated zones. And so, without being able to go too deep into it, it could look like introducing movement, introducing mindfulness, anchoring in your senses. That's my favorite thing to do, is what am I smelling, feeling, touching, seeing, and really getting present into the moment. Or it could look like introducing very light movement to just try to swing that pendulum again into the regulation zone. It's a big question.
What's your take on? So you said that's really interesting what you said, by the way, because obviously we know the anxious response is not only fight or flight; it's a freeze response, which a lot of people don't speak about enough anyway. I know that people do highlight it, but I don't think it's mentioned enough. It's always the fight or flight. So for someone in fight or flight, is it okay for them to exercise and get moving and get those endorphins released, or would you say that for them, your personal opinion or your experience is that they would be better looking at more mindfulness techniques, etc.?
I think it could be both. I think we all have to find what's right for our system. And so I can introduce different healing modalities. And for me, hypnotherapy has been life-changing. For somebody else, that might be too deep into the mind that they might want to start with somatic experiencing and understanding the body. One of my mentors, something she used to say about anxiety that I love, is she'd actually say, try, if you're feeling anxiety, try to turn it up by 10%. I know it's just something really unique. It's a unique take. Try to turn it up by 10%, because if you can turn it up by 10%, you can also turn it down. It means that your mind is actually in control. So sometimes it can look like you're in fight or flight. Yeah, jump, start to shake, activate your nervous system, get your heartbeat going even more. And then you can see, hey, what my mind does, my body does. And therefore, then it would be an amazing time to start to calm the body as well. So it really depends on what someone is dealing with. And I would, as a therapist, I would work one-on-one with somebody to make sure that it's the right tool for them.
Tailor-made to individuals. That's what we always say in the community, that the recovery looks different for everyone, and that's perfectly okay. One tool might work great for me, but then you use it and it doesn't work for you. But the great thing about anxiety recovery is that we have an array of tools that we can curate someone's path out to recovery. What would you say to people? Because I know that this, I know the community, and I know that this would be a question. Is I'm in fight or flight all the time. I'm always feeling anxious. So how do you expect me to get in a hypnotherapy state? Because I never feel relaxed. What would you say to them?
Well, if you're really having a hard time with that, then I introduce, before we go into a session, there's pre-session work that we can do to get the nervous system calm through meditation. But then it becomes your discipline of calming your nervous system is becomes the number one goal, because that's all we have is our nervous system. So sorry, am I cutting out or am I okay? I feel like I
No, it's
just lost
okay.
you for a second. Okay, good. So I would say that our job becomes a nervous system. One way that I learned to calm my nervous system is was in the in-between moments of creating disciplines around my life. So how I started my day, how I ended my day, the music I played, the again bringing myself back to my senses, and working with therapists, working with practitioners, giving myself extra love. So then if you're really never outside of fight or flight, then hypnosis might not be the first thing you go to. It might look like working with a coach or a therapist to create tools and systems around your life so that you can have at least moments of breath, right? So that's why I'm not anti, you know, if you need to take pills or whatever it is that you need to do to have moments of reflections, if you need, you know, just moments of understanding that you have access to being calm. And so that is, even if it's for 5 seconds, you have access to it for 5 seconds. And then you know, okay, now I just want to start to like to increase that window of tolerance. So next time I want it to be 10 seconds, then I want to give it a minute, then you can start to work your way up to a 5 minute meditation, to a 5 minute walk through nature without, you know, your mind going off, and slowly, slowly working through that. But it is a process. I think we have to be so patient and caring within ourselves, and to create practitioners around us that we can, you know, feel safe around, that we can trust, that we can work with, because we've had a whole lifetime of our nervous system being activated. We have to be patient as it deactivates.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point that you make. Regarding, I just want to go back just a little bit to where you said about going face to face with the anxiety, really saying, bring it on more. And I really love that take, because we know with anxiety disorders, a lot of the disorder is being scared of the physical symptoms. So it's avoidance is a key part of fueling an anxiety disorder. So to like you say, to have that reframe of bring it on, bring how much you can, I want you to make me feel more anxious, just doing that in itself is counterintuitive to the anxiety. And what people will find that, yes, you may feel a little bit of anxiety increase when you do it initially, but your anxiety will start to reduce, because when you go face to face with it, you start to see cracks in the anxiety. You start to realize that, like you said, this is just a body process. It's misfiring at the moment, but I'm okay. Just because I feel uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's dangerous. It may feel dangerous, but a feeling doesn't equal danger. And I think that's really important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to get over to some questions. I can see lots of them have come into the question box. I'm just gonna hit. I'm just gonna go with the first ones.
Sounds great.
All right. So the first. That's what it's more of it. Are they coming up on your screen?
Yep, one just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so overthinking. So someone who's, it's not really a question, but if we discuss the overthinking and it's disturbing their sleeping pattern, so what would you, what advice would you give to this person who's having trouble with maybe the mind switching off when they're trying to get some sleep?
I would say for sure the nighttime routine is the most important thing you can do. How do you deregulate your nervous system from a crazy day? And again, your nervous system is going to become your number one job. And what I love about our nervous system is that it's constantly trying to give us clues and show us what's actually going on. Because in our conscious mind, we're living from, you know, 5% of that conscious mind. That's the alpha brainwave. It's moving, sorry, the beta brainwave. It's moving, 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 constantly doing, doing, doing. And we don't have many tools to start to downregulate, to move towards from the beta to the alpha brainwave, and then slowly into the sleep brainwave, which is theta. And so if you can imagine, they're like little steps, and we're constantly trying to jump from the eighth step to the bottom step, as opposed to taking every step along the way. And it's a practice. Everything that we share is a practice. It comes back to being patient with yourself as you learn new tools. Your body and your nervous system has had years to experience and to have patterns the way it is now. Maybe it's been getting louder as of late, because I find, again, it gets louder because it wants to share with us what's going on. It's yeah. You know, ringing an alarm bell for a reason, whether it be perceived trauma, perceived danger, or actually real danger. So it's up to us to learn to take those steps.
That's great. And just regarding, obviously, I know a lot of members in the community, like you say, it often goes hand in hand, isn't it? High levels of anxiety and broken, lack of sleep.
Of course.
So a lot of people wake up in the middle of the night and then may feel disorientated and get anxiety. If someone does wake up in the middle of the night and they're feeling anxious, what would your advice be to them in that moment? So say it's 3 o'clock in the morning, they suddenly wake up, they feel anxious. Are they to lay there? Do you advise them to get out of bed? What would you say?
It would absolutely depend on the person, of course, but I, for me, what I do is I have a journal beside my bed. I find that like even just writing down and getting the energy out, if it means getting up and walking around, because right now what's happening is your brain waves are creating energy, energy, energy in your body, right? And it's a looping thought. And so we need to do whatever we can to disturb that looping thought, because the thought is what is creating the reaction in the body. And again, no judgment. We all have it. It's a system that is in place. These looping thoughts, 90% of them are looping. And so it's up to us to disrupt it in whatever way we can, and then create new thoughts. So for me, I write it down. What are these thoughts trying to tell me? What's this anxiety trying to share with me? And then I even have a little visualization that I do, that I imagine a keyboard and I say, delete, 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 and I enter a new thought. Sometimes that's enough for me to, to disrupt the system. And just being patient and calm and loving towards yourself. There's nothing wrong. You're not the only one. I think we all think that we're the only ones, and we're the defective one. But our brains and our minds are like a muscle. We have to learn how to train them for our highest evolution.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. I always say as well, if you're gonna wake up with anxiety. And anxiety, do you know what I mean? When you're anxious, you're looking for a threat, so you're not going to be falling asleep anytime soon. So I love why you say shifting that energy, shifting that attention to do something. I always say, well, journaling, which is a mindfulness technique, isn't it? Because you're focusing on the journaling. So I say reading as well. So a book, not your phone. Definitely not your phone in the middle of the night. But if you
That's
read
right.
a book, that help tire the eyes, and like you say, just focus that energy and attention. And like for some people, they may feel like getting up and going for a walk because we know it's an adrenaline dump, isn't it? So that excessive energy, maybe a little walk can help. And I think, and once you start to feel the anxiety go down, then you can start to try and get back to sleep again. But trying to do it in the middle of an anxiety or panic attacks, practically impossible. So I think that's
That's
great
right.
advice. I'll get some
That's right.
next question. Might be a second.
No worries.
Okay. I often get anxious when I wake up late for something, and I stay anxious all day, even if it turns out okay. How do I stop being anxious?
I'm going to bring it back to the morning routine. And again, the understanding of our nervous system and our brain waves. So, when we are not used to moving up and down that staircase, so going from beta brainwave to alpha to theta, and then in the morning, again, we should be moving from theta to alpha, from delta to theta to alpha to beta. So, going down the ramp and back up the ramp. So once we learn how to do that, then we're not jumping again the stairs. So things that help you not jump stairs are routines. So, being mindful of how you wake up and how you go to sleep every night. How you go to sleep will determine how you wake up. So if you go to sleep reviewing all the things you did wrong and all the things that you didn't do or didn't get done, likely what will happen is that you wake up feeling that same kind of stress and anxiety. So one of my favorite tools is going to bed is reviewing all the things that I did right that day, all the things I learned that day, the moments I loved the most, maybe doing five things I'm grateful for. I change the light, I put on music, I light candles, I do incense, knowing that I need to, how I go to sleep will determine how I wake up. If I wake up and I'm still feeling anxious, and that happens for many different reasons, right? You could have actual threat, you could have stuff on your to-do list, or it could be an addictive part of the system, which is fine. So again, what are you doing first thing in the morning? For me, I have meditation music playing, again, incense. I write something I'm grateful for. I go for a walk with my dog. I take an hour before I even start my day. And sometimes, maybe that's what it's about, creating that buffer, because I see here that you wrote that you wake up late. So creating that morning routine buffer, waking up an hour before you need to, so that you can regulate your day.
Yeah, I think gratitude journaling gets a bad rep. And I think it's probably because of the lack of education. So I can't really go too hard on people who And I can understand why they say, oh, well, I'm in the middle of anxiety. What's being grateful gonna do for me? And I can understand that mindset, but it's not the mindset. That's not the mindset to have, because that's not the process. And what you said there is really important. And I spoke to, do you know what I mean, some of the most renowned psychiatrists in the world who say gratitude, especially at the end of the evening, at the end of the night, if you can do that as your last practice, is super, super important. Because like you just mentioned, it really does have a knock-on effect and can really, really affect you in the morning. And I think that is fantastic advice that you gave, and I've heard before. And I think, yeah, if we can educate and get that message out to more people and just change the narrative around gratitude and what it means, I think more people will find it useful instead of just dismissing it and saying, oh, well, no, I'm not just going to think of something that's really helpful for me, because that's what's that going to do in my anxiety? Do you understand what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think it's because we misconstrue. We think that gratitude, it's only for like the positive emotions and only the good things. But it's really about the gratitude of the contrast of life, of life as it is. Gratitude for the little things, for the minute moments, not necessarily for the really big things. And I think that's why it's when you are in a nervous system breakdown, especially if you've moved into from fight or flight and you're completely in freeze. Meaning you're in the door, your dorsal, nervous system is activated. You don't even want to lift a finger. You don't want to get out of bed. When you're in that state, it's almost impossible to journal, to take action. In that state, you want to just start moving a finger, really, really little bit at a time. Once you deregulate a little bit and you have some more access, then you can start to do something more, like maybe go into nature, write something you're grateful for. But again, being patient with yourself, depending on where you are along the system, and just imagining when I just imagine that my system's just a little bit stuck, my pendulum is stuck in the very top corner, and I need to just jiggle it a little bit to start to have it swing the other way. And then once I
That's
have a breath, do say something I'm
pendulum,
grateful
but
for.
I'll definitely be using.
The
I'll
pendulum
definitely be
is a
using that
good
one. I
move.
will. I just want to just note the last part of the question, which is how do I stop being anxious? And I think it's really important, because I say this a lot, that the goal of anxiety recovery is not never to feel anxious again. Anxiety is
That's right.
an emotion that we need in certain aspects of life. Do you know what I mean? If we're in a dangerous situation, it's anxiety that can help us get out of that. So anxiety
That's
is not
right.
always the enemy. And that the last part of that question is almost feeding into the anxiety disorder, isn't it? Because it's almost an avoidance of it. So changing that narrative and understanding that it's okay if we feel the anxiety. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but what we're trying to do is make it not occur in a disorderly fashion. So it's not occurring when it shouldn't be, really, when there's no danger there. But if it does, it's okay, and we can still continue to do what non-anxious us would do.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to understand that the mind just doesn't like discomfort. And so sometimes the anxiety is because you're doing something other than a 90% of the repetitive action or thoughts that your mind has been taking. So it's identifying, is this real threat or am I just uncomfortable in this moment because I'm doing something different? And then, having the courage to do something different and just accept the discomfort in your body. I think so much in society, we move away from, we just want to move away from pain, but there's so much to learn in pain, and we are resilient beings and we have a whole wide range of emotions. One of my mentors used to say, you have to learn how to push and accept every key on the piano, including your anxiety, including your fury, including your, depressive moments. We all have 88 keys, and learning how to accept every one of them really takes the energy away from it, exasperating and getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, because we have obviously the studies and leading psychologists who all believe when we first feel anxious, that's the first fear, and then it's our how we react to that anxiety that
That's right.
either creates the second fear, which is the increased anxiety, or we can start to feel the anxiety and eventually it'll start to reduce. So I think the reaction to the anxiety is the important part, not the anxiety itself if it occurs.
That's right. And then, when you're in a react in your reaction, being really patient with yourself, doing what you can to deactivate, to get back into your calm nervous system, whether it be trying any practitioners to support you along the way to find those moments. And then once you've had those moments, then you can start to do the work and asking yourself, when did this begin? When did this loop begin? And only then you can bring in maybe some of the healing techniques to really put the past in the past where it belongs. But while you're in it, to be super calm, sorry, compassionate more than calm. It's impossible to be calm when you're in it, but to be compassionate with yourself. There's nothing wrong with you. It is super normal. We live in an anxious world with a lot of all kinds of signals coming at us from many different ways. We're all traumatized on some level. So just being patient while we walk this not so easy path in this earth school, right?
So people, when they're going through an anxiety disorder, they have this inner critic, don't they? Telling them they're not good enough, they're isolated, they're never going to get out of this anxiety disorder. And it's about turning down that inner critic that may be there and just coming up with a different narrative that, hey, maybe it's going to be okay. It's okay to feel anxious. And when you start to change that narrative, it starts to broaden the mind, doesn't it? Instead of this internal dialogue, this ruminating on all the negative things. And yeah, anxiety can really keep you stuck and trapped in that negative cycle. So it's about just opening the mind. And when you initially do it, and I say this to people, is that when you initially do it, your mind is going to tell you, well, why are you thinking that way? That's not correct. And it's probably going to give you more negativity. But continue to do it, continue to broaden the mind. And over time, like you said, it's not an overnight thing. And I think I understand why people want an overnight fix to an anxiety disorder. But unfortunately, it isn't an overnight thing. It's practice, it's techniques, and it's part of a routine. And as we do that, we can help to reduce the anxiety. I want to try and get two more questions in while I
Sure.
have. So I will. Let me. Here's a great one. So, how do you calm down when you're having a panic attack? So, I'm in the grocery store. I just have a panic attack because I don't know. I think that everyone's looking at me. What should I do in that situation?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's this is when you, again, you just have to, I would, is just find a safe space, even if it's just to move away, because I know that, we just want to find some moments for self-compassion. And the way the mind works is that it's reacting to the words you're saying in your mind and the images you've created in your mind. Okay, so you want to gently start to change the image and to change the words that you're saying, and just be patient with yourself. It will pass. So when we're in that moment, you're in your head, you're saying it's never gonna end, it's never gonna end, it's never gonna end. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. And so if you can just find a calm spot to concentrate on one, point of focus. So if you can go, for me, I just go find one thing to focus on. Something outside of me, maybe it be a tree blowing in the wind, and just try to start calming your body. If it's really not going anywhere, sometimes going the other way helps. So actually finding a place where you can shake and ramp it up, and like work with the energy of your body, as opposed to trying to fight it.
I remember
So those are.
that's probably what I did because I understand when people say, well, I'm in the middle of a panic attack, I just can't try and find that calmness. I
Yeah, fair enough.
can't try and find that say diaphragmatic breathing because I concentrate on my breathing and then it makes
It
me
works.
panic more.
Yeah.
Understand that. But like you say, there is the other option, which is move into the anxiety, use that energy. It's excessive adrenaline, it's excessive cortisol running through the body. My number one tip in a panic attack is if it's a situation that isn't dangerous, try your best to stay in that situation because by avoiding the situation, that's sort of telling the brain that that situation is dangerous and that can really contribute to a panic disorder and then avoiding situations where the
That's
panic
right.
attacks occur. We know that it's not the situation that's caused it that's dangerous. It's obviously our interpretation of the situation and
Exactly.
what we do. And I think that's really important, isn't it?
That's absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so the last question, let me have a look. Oh, this. Okay, health anxiety. How do I know it's an anxiety symptom or an actual medical emergency?
That's a big question, and I would never want to give you advice on that without actually knowing what's going on. In that, if you know you
Yeah.
suffer from anxiety disorder, or this is not the first time this has happened, it's likely that it's your mind setting off warning signals.
Fine, so
And
I'd interrupt and say that's signs of a fantastic therapist, because I'm not a medical professional, you're not a doctor, and a therapist will be open and honest about that and say that. So I think that's incredible, obviously, and just shows a testament to yourself that you say, yes, well, if you're scared that that you're having this symptom and it hasn't been checked by a doctor, go and get it checked out by a doctor. When they say it's anxiety, then we can work with it. We know that it's a physical symptom of anxiety. We know why it's occurring, and we know it's not dangerous. But if it's a new symptom that you're dealing with and it hasn't been checked out by a doctor, get yourself to the doctors. And I know it's
absolutely.
hard for people with anxiety to go to the doctor because they're often fearful of, oh, well, what if it's not anxiety? What if it is this heart disease? Because we're always looking for that actual threat.
That's
So
right.
people actually avoid going to the doctor to find out the solution. So it can be a very hard process, but we always say in the community, the number one rule is if you have a new symptom and it hasn't been checked out, get yourself to the doctors because there's also other conditions that can mimic anxiety.
That's right. Absolutely. And again, just having so
So
much compassion and patience with yourself as well through it all, you
yeah.
know, as we get to know our bodies, as we get to know our minds, as we get to undo. And to me, anxiety, it's like something that it's there for a reason. So really getting to know your anxiety. Some therapists, cultures would say, like, name it, get to know it. What is it trying to teach you? What is it trying to show you? It likely started a long time ago, and it's been going off and getting louder and louder and louder. Usually, what you
100%.
have
Yeah.
now is a symptom of
I
something that
completely
started when you
agree.
were young. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And even the buildup of stress. So we could have a stress buildup over, say, 3 to 6 months. So you're not feeling that anxiety, but eventually that excessive stress will boil out into excessive anxiety. And like you said, the anxiety is there, and it's literally because you care about your wife, because you care about the situation you're in. And it's time to make a change. So sometimes it's time to adjust. Look at those external stress factors. What can you reduce? What can you do? Like you say, how's your routine? How's your sleep hygiene? How's your nutrition? Are you spending time being mindful, meditation? All these things that you can look at and improve and better yourself and be a better version of yourself. And I think that's a
That's
message
right.
that both agree on. Because
That's
that was like a doctor question, I'm going to give one more.
right. Okay. Sounds great.
What's the physical symptom questions? We always get them.
I would even say about that is that again, once we finally get to the nervous system, I call it, I'm straight up with it, but the nervous system breakdown, the breakdown of the nervous
Yeah.
system, the panic attack. Once we get there, we've had a lot of signs already by that point. We're just not in tune enough or haven't been yet to do the work to be in tune. And so the beautiful gift of anxiety, depression, is to start to be more in tune earlier on. And so to start to get to know yourself, to notice the, like you said, the physical external systems around us that either add health to our life or take away health, that add ease or create dis-ease in our life. And so getting more in tune with those alarm bells earlier on so that we can live a more holistic life, not just waiting for the alarm bells or the full
Yeah.
alarm to go off. Yeah.
That's something I've definitely learned through experience regarding that overall holistic approach to anxiety recovery. And it's really I the connection between stress and anxiety is
That's
real and it's important, but it's something Especially external stresses that we can fix. Obviously, sometimes the stress that we, if someone has a condition, for example, what would your advice, that's a good question, actually. What would your advice be to someone who has an actual condition, or they're going through an illness, and that is a reason to be stressed and anxious? What would your advice be to them who say that, well, I can't get rid of that external stress because that's what I'm actually going through?
This is when the practice of building faith becomes the most important part. And I really believe that faith is the antidote to all of these physical symptoms. And I'm not, whatever faith means to you, believing that we are not, just this one little being in a container, right? It's that we're all connected, that it's all happening for our highest evolution, that there's a bigger picture, that we're always going to be okay ultimately. So creating, there's many different ways to build faith. And but for that, all of it takes first being in a calm nervous system state, right? So doing the little all the different things you can do around your routines, around your disciplines to cultivate whatever you can, as best you can, a safe and container for your nervous system to start calming down. And then look at all the reasons to be faithful, all the different ways to be faithful. Being in nature always adds faith into my life. Being around animals, being with babies. I have in my office here, I have a photograph of me with my grandmother when I was a baby. And to me, when I'm feeling anxious, I look at that baby and I just, examine the physical form. And I remember that the same energy that created that baby into this form of who I am now, that same energy, that's the faith that I'm talking about, that it's not all in my hands, that I can trust that it's all going as it should for my highest evolution of my soul. And so, it's not about just finding, being calm or finding peace. It's having trust. It's having trust. That's the one thing that I would say, is very, very important.
I think that's beautiful. And what you say, and I think it's really beautiful what you said about faith looks different for all people. And no, we're not here to judge or say one person's faith, it could be completely different to another, and that's
That's right.
okay. But
That's right.
finding that faith can be really helpful for you. And the last question is, how do you calm down? And then, so someone who's wanting support for someone who's anxious, how do you calm down an individual who's highly anxious in an anxious state, and they're showing anger or talking here, so they may be snappy, showing anger because of the anxiety?
This is a hard one, but I'm going to say this the most gently that I can, is that nobody else is really our responsibility. All we can control is ourselves. We cannot control others. So I always say the way to world peace is through inner peace. But there, if this is someone that you love, that you care about, that you want to support, when someone is having, in an anxious state, their nervous system's activated, the best thing we can do, in my opinion, is to see them and love them through it. And so, my person that I call when I'm having, these kind of moments is always my brother. And he knows that in that moment, he just says, "Oh, I see you. That must be really hard. It's gonna be okay. I love you." Like, it's just that on repeat. He's not trying to fix me or to fix it. It's not our job to fix anything. Our job is to witness another. The soul just wants to be witnessed exactly as it is without fixing. And sometimes the act of trying to fix is, creates more anxiety. So being patient, this too shall pass. That I can, the cycle always passes. It does dissipate. The pendulum will always swing eventually.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to leave the life. The pendulum will always swing eventually. I love that. I must say, I've really enjoyed this. I can see that we believe a lot of the same things, which is always great to see in the anxiety community, because we know that obviously there's people with different disciplines, etc. Some people, well, I always say what works for someone, if they say something that I initially think, well, I don't think that'd be good for anxiety, but if that's someone's personal experience and that's helped them with anxiety, I'm not someone to judge, and I definitely wouldn't judge them. And if that's reduced their anxiety, I'm all for that. So that's
Me
what this
too.
community is about, really. It's about expressing everyone being able to have their own opinions, bringing their professionalism to these interviews, for example, bringing their specialities and just giving as much education, psychoeducation to the community as possible, because that was all my goal. Because, yeah, I didn't have anything like this. So I think it's great to see not only my community, but everyone else who's doing the same thing. I think it's a good side of Instagram that we're all doing. So Dana, for everyone who wants to follow you, how can they find you on social media? Do you have anything coming up? Can we book one of these retreats? Can we get on one? Can we work with you one-on-one? Let everyone know in the community.
Absolutely. So you can follow me. It's my first and last name. So D-A-N-A-S-H-A-L-I-T. And I am just in the mid-launch of a few exciting things. I do work one-on-one in single sessions and program sessions. And I am launching an incredible nervous system reset retreat here in Costa Rica, which is where I live. And I'll be launching that this week. So the best way would be to head to my profile, click on the bell, and then you'll hear all about that retreat, some upcoming programs and workshops as well. So lots of goodies coming, but nothing I can say fully. And thank you so much.
Love it.
Thank you so much for all that you do and what you stand for and for this opportunity. I think you're truly amazing, and the ripple effect continues.
No, I appreciate that. For everyone who's still on here, you can watch this back on Instagram in the community. Also, we'll be converting it over to podcast. So if you prefer to listen to a podcast and that's your sleep routine, then that'll be available within the next week. So Dana, thank you so much for everything you do. Guys, and enjoy the rest of your day. And I'll speak to you soon, Dana.
Speak to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Ciao. Bye.